We're going to start out where we left off, I believe, in the book of Proverbs. If you want to be finding them, I've got several scriptures. I believe it'll go pretty fast, though. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, the book of Isaiah, and the book of Hebrews and James. So if you want to find them, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, when you're in the center of God's will, things in your life, things does not have to be forced. It starts automatically flowing. And I think that's what you'll see here as we go a little bit further into this study of Moses' life. Now let's go back with that thought in mind. Real briefly, though, I want to share that some things that are out of that proverb. Remember, I said last week, as Charles Stanley said, that was a before and after proverb. There's a few things that's got to happen before. That's your responsibility, and one of them is trust. You got to trust in the Lord. You got to lean on Him, and get rid of all of your understanding. Get rid of that religion. Get rid of that junk you may have in your life, and everything that you think the way it ought to be, and lean on Him. And in so doing, that proverb says He will direct your path. And when He's directing your path, it is not going to be forced. It's going to start flowing. I'm not saying that you're not going to have problems, but as you look at the study here of Moses, it'll become like it's everything just falling into place. Let's go back. I'm going to look at a couple of verses in the book of Exodus, then we're going to have a word of prayer. Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. Now remember, Moses had been in the desert, and he had gotten married and had a couple of kids, and God comes to him and speaks to him and tells him to go back to Egypt, deliver his people. I thought that's interesting. And can you imagine, just put yourself in his place for a minute, if God had came and spoken to you like that and told you to go back to where you came from, and that you were going to he's going to use you to deliver the people. But notice what he says here in verse 18, how he handles this. He's going to his father-in-law. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. Now, you stop and think about this. This guy's come to him. He's fixing to take his daughter, and he's fixing to take his grandkids, and he's going to leave the country. I mean, now, I would have a hard time if Jeremy and Jay Anna came to me and said that, look, we're fixing to leave and check out of here, and we're taking these grandkids and we're leaving. I would have to really pray about it before I could say go in peace. You know. but you know, that's what Moses tells him. I mean, that's what Jethro, his father-in-law, tells him. He says, go in peace. So you can tell right there that God is in this, that he is in God's will, because things are just flowing. Now you remember, Moses is a family man now. He's got different concerns than he had before. See, before he was by himself, and now he's got a family. He's got a wife and a couple of young kids to deal with, and he's going back to Egypt. Now let's go verse 19, chapter 4, verse 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. You know, that it's just another step there and another miracle that you can look at, that how God is he's taking care of things. He's in the will of God, so everything is flowing. Every man that sought his life in Egypt are now dead. And his father-in-law tells him to go ahead, and then God actually confirms this by telling him that all these people are gone that wanted to take his life. Let's go to the Lord real shortly in prayer. Father, we just we come before you this morning, and Father, I just pray that as we search these scriptures, Lord, that you would use these passages of your holy scriptures, Lord, to speak to hearts and to use your Spirit, Lord, to change lives, Lord. And we give you praise. Just guide me through this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Now let's go. He's got the blessing of his father-in-law. God tells him that the people are dead that wanted to kill you. Now go back to Egypt. Now let's look and see what happens. Verse 20, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them up on an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now I want to back up and point out something. Let's go back to same chapter 4, but back up to verse 2. Now, real briefly, Moses had been saying to God, what if they will not listen to me? You're telling me to go to these people. What am I going to say? What if they won't listen to thee and say that God hadn't appeared to you? Look what it says in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, what? A rod. Now I want to point out the difference. Now back up and go back to verse 20. And the last part of that verse says, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. You see the difference there? See, before it was just a rod. And now he says they took the rod of God in his hand. The staff of went from a rod to the staff of God. So what happens between verse 2 and up to verse 20 here? There's a miracle that takes place. It's no longer the staff of Moses. It's no longer just a rod. Now it's a staff of God. And I want you to realize this morning that your life is marked by God. And when we start using our life, whether it be our voice or our talents or whatever it is, when you become God's, that instrument becomes His. See what I'm saying? Just like this rod. Before it was just a rod. Now it is the rod of God. So your voice, your heart, your work, your actions become the voice of God. Think about it. Now, let's go a little further in verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And he tells him two things here. First, he gives him a command, but he also is reminding him of something. He tells him to perform all the miracles that I have shown you to do. When you get there, you do these miracles. But he also reminds him that Pharaoh wasn't going to be impressed. He says, I'm telling you that right now. I want to remind you of that. You know, as you read this and study this, there's several times in here that you can almost sense a calm spirit about Moses. And I think especially so when we get to a certain point in this study and in this biblical account of what happened, you can sense the calmness of Moses, especially when they start after the first couple of times they get to Pharaoh. You can sense the calmness that he had about him. You know, real briefly, go to Isaiah 32 verse 17. Now Isaiah, he was wondering, who God was one time, and we'll go back to that scripture in a minute. But I wanted to point out this in Isaiah 32, verse 17. It describes this, I think, of better than any scripture can. Isaiah 32, 17 reads, "And the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever." Now, that to me, that tells us two things. That the work that you do for Christ, if you're doing works of righteousness, where that righteousness comes from Christ, if you're doing the work of Jesus Christ, there's going to be something happen there. You're going to have a peace in your life. You're going to have a peace in your heart. And not only with just you yourself, but there's going to be an effect of righteousness. So the effects of your work that you're doing, is there's going to come a what does it say, a quietness and an assurance. In other words, there's going to be a confidence there. And I believe you can see that as Moses, as he goes into Pharaoh, the greatest king in all the world, he has a calmness and a quietness about him. Why? Because he knows he is in the center of God's will. He knows he is doing what God wants him to do. He has a calm spirit. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 through 26. "And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him." I want to point out that I believe that they were just camped there. There wasn't actually a Best Western Inn there or something there. They were just, this was a place, this is where they had camped. And then, forgot how you pronounce her name, Zipporah? What? Zipporah. Zipporah? Zipporah? "Took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." You know, I have read this story no telling how many times, and it never dawned on me until this time studying here what actually happened here. I don't know. I just read over that. But God really, really spoke to me on this. You know, Moses had overlooked a part of a covenant that he had made with the people, and that was one of obedience. That every godly Jew was to circumcise the male child. It was a physical mark of their obedience before God. And look what it says. He says in verse 24, it says that the Lord met him, that's Moses, and he sought to kill him. You know, I mean, this when you're dealing with God, it's serious business. When you make a vow to God, it is serious business. And I never had caught that before, but Moses became ill. He became sick. But God used his wife to point out what was wrong in his life. And us men, we need to remember that. And you wives, you need to remember that. That sometimes God will use your spouse to point out things in your life that might be wrong. Whew, man. My wife ain't going to tell me what's wrong with me. I can just hear you saying it now. I know how it is. You see, it's not criticism. The Bible calls it iron sharpening iron. Think about it. You say, well, Brother Dennis, I'm sitting here this morning and I'm not married. I don't have no spouse to correct me. Well, praise the Lord. God will take other Christians in your life and have the same effect. You hear me? And it's the same thing. It's not criticism. It's iron sharpening iron. God will use the reproof of people to show you things in your spiritual life that we need to correct. So when you read this, this little kid, this little baby had been circumcised. So apparently he couldn't travel anymore. I could imagine why he couldn't. Couldn't you? Because apparently they go back and Moses goes on. If you read that, you'll see what I mean. So Moses is alone. Look what happens now. And the Lord, verse 27, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Now, there's two things that happen here. Moses is alone. I mean, can you imagine? Here he is with his wife, and his wife confronts him with that, and then they have to go back, and Moses is there alone. And Moses sends, God sends Moses' brother to him. Said, your brother is in the wilderness, he's alone, and he needs you. And I'm going to tell you something. God will send us a Christian brother or sister alone or to us when we need it. Amen? So he sends his brother to Moses. Now let's read a little further in verse 31. Now, picture this. I'm going to get this together before we go any further. Aaron goes to Moses and meets him in the desert. And Moses said, man, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you everything God has been telling me. And he tells Aaron everything that God had been telling him. And he tells him about the miracles, about the miracle of the rod, you know, how he turned it into a snake and how he made his hand wither up and all that. And he tells him everything that God had been telling him. So they go back to the people, and Aaron tells the people everything that Moses had told him, and even did the signs in the sight of the people. In other words, they did those same miracles they showed the people. Now, with all that said, in verse 31, chapter 4, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. You know, when I read this passage of Scripture down through here, you know, I thought, man, that is so much like our spiritual lives. You know, can you... A lot of times we may be alone, may be struggling, may even feel like alone, and God will send us a brother. Or like this time here where the people believed and they were on a spiritual high. They had just had an awesome meeting, them two out in the desert, and they had went to the people, and the people believed, and man, it was just almost like they were having a revival, and they were on a spiritual high. But then all of a sudden, they're brought back down. All of a sudden, you may leave here on Sunday and then get back home, and all of a sudden there's that same problem that you've been dealing with. All of a sudden you come from this real high back down to here. That's what I thought of. Now let's read on in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Time to quit. You know, there's so many times in our lives that it's like that. You know, and remember, God had told him. He said, "Now, you're going to go to him, and you're going to perform all these miracles, but Pharaoh, he's not going to let you go." And I think there's so many times in our lives we get to thinking that with my relationship and my walk with the Lord that I'm not going to have any problems. You know, God's touching me. He's blessing me. And we want to stay on that spiritual high all the time. You know, and it's great. And it's awesome. But Moses, he forgets. He forgets that God has told him that he's not going to let him go. So he starts asking, why and how? Chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" Verse 23, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." He starts asking, why and how are you going to deliver these? Now chapter 6 verse 1, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." In other words, God tells him, he says, you just wait and I'm going to show you. Now let's jump down to verse 9. "And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses." And then he tells the reasons why they wouldn't listen to him. "For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage." And I kind of give that little verse right there just a title of its own. I entitled it, "Hang the Preacher." They would no longer listen to him. You know, and I've been there before, believe me, I have. And I believe this verse fits our lives today just as much as it did back then. There's been times in my life that I've went to church, but I refused to hear the message. And it tells you why right there. Because of anguish of spirit, that shortness of spirit. You were irritated about something. You were impatient about something. You had resentment in your heart. Maybe your wife made you mad before you came to church. Maybe your husband made you mad. Maybe your neighbor made you mad or whatever. But you come to the service and you do not accept God's message because of the way your heart is. Have I stepped on anybody's toes? And I tell you, I have been there. He gives the two reasons why they want to hang the preacher, why they won't accept the message, because of their spirit, and the second one was because of their cruel bondage. I mean, these people were suffering tremendously. And when Moses went to Pharaoh and wanted to get them released, well, they put more labor on them. But remember what God says. He says, "You just watch me." He says, "You just watch me work." That's what he's telling Moses. You just watch. Now, how many times in our life do we get just like that and we do not wait on God and let him work? We get to asking why. We get to asking how. Instead of standing still and watching, we start taking matters into our own hands. When that enemy comes to us at the moment of our greatest pain, he starts whispering in your ear. Says, Don't you realize what your wife has done to you? You know, you don't have to take this. You're a better man than that. He starts whispering in your ear. You don't have to take that anymore. Leave her. How about if you're at work and your boss gives you something to do and it's been a real struggle all week long? You can say, man, I just can't do that. Then all of a sudden there's that little voice saying, boy, when you get off work, why don't you just drive up there quicker liquor? Get you a six-pack of beer. You deserve it. Get you a bottle of whiskey. You deserve it. Look what you've been putting up with all week. See, I've been there. How about your school, you kids? Classmates are treating you like garbage. Been there? Well, they're treating me like garbage. All of a sudden, there's this little voice. If they're going to treat you like that, you deserve this. You deserve to do that. I'm gonna take that drink. I deserve it. I'm gonna smoke that joint. I deserve it. You see that? Instead of remaining faithful and waiting on God to work in our lives, that so many times that's what happens to us. Just bear with me. The Lord gave Moses two pieces of advice here, or counsel. And one of them, he was related to his person, who God was, or who God is. And the other was to the work that he was going to do. And I'm going to point those out, and then we're going to close. In Exodus chapter 6, in verse 2, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And then when you jump down to verse 6, and he says, tell the children of Israel that I am the Lord. And then in verse 7, he says, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And then in verse 29, it says, then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. So he tells him who he is. In other words, God is telling Moses, he said, hey, you've got your eyes in the wrong place. You need to get your eyes back on me. See, when we get our eyes fixed on what they need to be fixed on, then our whole perspective changes. So I want to encourage you this morning, don't get to looking at your neighbor. Don't get to looking at some other Christian. Don't get to looking at me. I'll let you down. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. I got two scriptures, and then we're going to close. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Basically, what that's telling us, he said, consider, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Not just your eyes, but your mind, what you're thinking about. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look into Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Do it daily. You may have to do it 10,000 times a day, but keep doing it. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. So when you're low, when those kids at school are treating you like garbage, when things get rough in your marriage, when things get rough on your job, when people disappoint you, when circumstances and events in your life turn against you and your dreams die and those walls start closing in and your heart is breaking, you're miserable inside, it's like your soul is crying out, he says, look at me. Look at me. Look at Jesus Christ. You see, I really believe the other night when God touched me, and I believe he gave me some healing. I really do. You know what I was doing when that happened? I was sitting there just praising the Lord. Just praising him for not only what he had done, but for who he is. Keep your eyes on him. When that rough place in the road comes along, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Susan, would you come? We're going to have just a short invitation. I don't know what you're going through right now, maybe what you're experiencing in your life. But I want to encourage you this morning. The first thing you need to do in your life is having an experience with Jesus. Because if you have not had that experience,